Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Now, here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. I am loving this morning. I take a walk every morning, and I live in South Florida, and today it's very low humidity and 77 degrees, so it's beautiful. And that just wakes me up and puts me in a good mood. Today I'll be discussing the topic tough love. In life, we have the opportunity to express our love in a variety of ways, but what is love? Love is the act of giving of ourselves, lifting others up, and always wanting the best for those we care about. But love is not always beautiful, and it is not always easy. It sometimes requires pushing our own needs to the side in order to do what is best for someone else. There are times when having someone's best interest at heart requires the use of tough love. Tough love should always be rooted in deep devotion and unconditional love, though it usually does not feel like a loving act to the person on the receiving end of it. That's why using tough love is so hard to do. We never want to hurt the ones we care about and love. But tough love is not used to hurt someone. It is used to help someone who is making destructive choices in their life. The goal of today's show is to offer a clearer understanding of tough love, what it is, what it is not, when to use it, and how to use it. If you are dealing with someone who concerns you, someone who does not respond to gestures of traditional love, today's show will help you understand what you need to do. If you're not currently dealing with someone who is in need of tough love, it's important to listen as well. There are times in life when each of us will have to use it. The expression tough love has been around since 1976. It was brought to the forefront in the 1980s when a Philadelphia couple, Phyllis and David York, both family therapists and substance abuse counselors, developed a model for using it as treatment for teen addiction. The Yorks were motivated by their own difficulties raising their two teenage daughters. So they developed the tough love method as a way to help troubled teens using unconditional love combined with the use of firm, well-defined, consistent boundaries. It emphasizes clearly conveying to the child that you love them unconditionally while holding them accountable for their actions. It's about setting clear and well-enforced limits for behaviors that will and will not be tolerated. over time, other therapists jumped on the bandwagon and began applying the method and using it with adults as well, as and children and teens, just like the Yorks did. Though the administration of tough love discipline is stern, it's not about hurting the other person. It's about being tough on them to help them change behaviors that will have dire consequences for them down the road. It requires the other person to take responsibility for the decisions they make and the actions they take. Though the employment of specific consequences and restraints. When used effectively, tough love is empathetic but not sympathetic. It's supportive but not enabling. Enabling is rescuing someone from the consequences of his self-destructive behavior, whether that behavior is alcoholism or substance abuse, an eating disorder, a gambling addiction, relationship or sexual addiction, or anything else that is destroying him and those around him. When we don't allow others to suffer the consequences of their actions, we cripple them emotionally. We deprive them of the ability to learn from their mistakes. We also take away their ability to overcome their problems and change their lives for the better. When we eliminate the incentive for someone to change, believing that we are saving him from himself, we only prolong his suffering and ours as well. That is a very dangerous road to take, because someone who is hell-bent on destruction has little time to waste. Being supportive in a healthy way is a positive thing, a loving act. Rescuing, on the other hand, is a self-centered, self-serving, and unloving act. Parents tend to have the hardest time with tough love. They often enable their children's unruly behaviors without even realizing they are doing so, because the instinct they have to protect their children is very powerful. They will protect their children at any cost. They will give in to their children's manipulations. They'll lie for them, make excuses for them, and cover up for them. And some parents deal with it by not dealing with it. They choose denial. They refuse to believe that any child of theirs is capable of dangerous or unruly behavior. And they hope that if they ignore what they don't want to see, the problem will go away. That attitude is neglectful and lazy. This is serious stuff. The problem with those actions and reactions, or lack of them, is that they are ineffective if the child or teen lacks any semblance of self-discipline. If they want to act out and they know there are no consequences for doing so, they will continue to act out. Things will keep getting worse. The child becomes a danger to himself, a danger to his family, and a danger to society at large. Many parents enable because of their own fears, fear of the child running away, fear of the child ending up dead or in jail, fear of serious injury. These are legitimate fears, and there is a high risk of what they fear happening to their child actually happening. That's why it's so important to apply tough love as soon as possible, as soon as we see the signs. Now, that requires doing some detective work, looking for changes in personality, sudden secrecy, poor grades, change in friends or interests, and uncharacteristic emotional outbursts. It's detrimental to keep the situation from getting to the point of no return. Once the ball gets rolling, there is little the parent can do to stop it. The parent becomes a slave to the manipulative whims of the child, and eventually their greatest fears are realized. Hopefully no one else gets hurt in the process. Parents are not the only ones who rescue and enable. Relatives, friends, and lovers in relationships do it as well. they try to shield the person they care about from the destructive consequences of his behavior, not realizing that they are, in fact, perpetuating the problem. They think they're doing the right thing, only wanting to help the other person by doing whatever is asked of them. People who are chronic enablers have usually been programmed from childhood to believe that they must do for others and placate them in order to maintain their relationships. In their adult relationships, they may sell their own souls, sacrifice their own well-being, tolerate abuse and disrespect, and spiral downward right along with the person they are trying to save or protect. None of these things will work. They will not keep the other person from self-destructing. They will only contribute to and accelerate the self-destruction. Those suffering from addictions and other self-destructive behavior will not respond to a soft approach. They will not seek help when the problem is pointed out or when kindly asked or even begged to get treatment. What motivates them to change is pain. Pain that leaves them with no other alternative. The only thing that works in these cases is tough love. A lesson must be learned, and it has to be learned the hard way. Look, tough love is not easy to do, and many people shy away from using it. That's because tough love requires the use of patience, emotional fortitude, wisdom, and courage. It requires persistence and tenacity. It requires putting one's own needs, fears, and feelings aside until the job gets done for as long as it takes. It requires watching someone we care about failing and making bad decisions. It requires using seemingly cruel tactics with someone we care about. But tough love is not really cruel. What is cruel is being lazy and selfish, taking the easy way out and prolonging the other person's suffering. Tough love is not pleasant for any of the parties involved, giver or receiver. It is, it's tough. No one wants to see someone they care about in pain. But tough is only half the equation. The expression is tough love. It is just as equally a loving act. Tough love can be used at any time to help someone change their behavior, though it is much easier to nip it in the bud as early as possible. A dose of tough love can be used effectively early on as a wake-up call with someone who has just begun self-destructing. The most common reason to use tough love is with addiction because of the havoc addiction always wreaks in the lives of everyone involved. But tough love can be used for a variety of circumstances. Someone who is in an abusive relationship where healthy boundaries do not exist might use tough love to protect herself and establish those boundaries. Tough love may be used with an overly needy friend who is a constant downer and continually sucks the life out of you. Tough love may be used in a relationship as a reality check when someone is being irresponsible or selfish. Age-appropriate forms of tough love can be very useful with children who are chronically forgetful or irresponsible, with children who are persistently disobedient, and with children who refuse to fulfill their household responsibilities. Though it may seem difficult at the time, it is very important to deal with these minor infractions when children are young by allowing them to learn from their mistakes and by setting appropriate consequences for their behaviors. When children do anything that can be harmful to themselves and others, parents, out of love, must take a stand. That may involve getting them professional help or having them face the consequences of their behavior with the proper authorities. problems with teenagers are much harder to deal with. They can be far more serious and may impact the rest of the teenagers' lives. So when children are young, they should be taught boundaries and given tools so they can be emotionally healthy, well-functioning adults. So many future problems can be avoided when childhood problems are addressed early. In case you've gotten the impression that tough love is abusive, let me stress that it is not. And the only ones who should use it are those who genuinely care about the person they are trying to help. Tough love is about loving someone enough to be clear and consistent. It's about finding effective ways to hold someone accountable for their actions. Whether child, teen, or adult, it's about respecting someone for the individual they are and allowing them to express that individuality. But tough love demands the same respect in return. Bullying, manipulating, shouting, lecturing, demeaning, blaming, and threatening are never recommended and never acceptable behaviors for anyone. Children and teens in particular are emotionally fragile. Their self-esteem can be easily damaged. The goal is to build them up, not tear them down. Tough love is about focusing on the positive, not emphasizing the negative. It's about being consistent and following through. Tough love is not about toughening children up. It's not about winning or losing, and it's not about emotionally beating them into compliancy. It's not about trying to control them. Tough love is about letting them make their own choices and allowing them to learn from those choices. It's about emotionally supporting them, giving them the tools they need to thrive in life, and helping them to reach their greatest potential. It's about having reasonable, consistent expectations, limits, and boundaries, and clearly understood, predictable consequences. The hardest part of using tough love, but definitely the most crucial, is allowing the natural consequences of the teen's or adult's behavior or enforcing the consequences that have been established. When a contract is breached, words must be backed up with actions. There should be no threats, no multiple warnings, and no compromise. Just clear cause and effect. If they get an inch, they will take a mile, and you will lose all credibility. Well, we're at that halfway point in the show, so I'm going to take a brief one-minute break. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Back to today's discussion, tough love. In the first half of the show, I talked about what tough love is and what tough love is not. I also talked about the importance of guiding the other person in the right direction. But how does one go about doing that? If we have no prior experience and no one to guide us, how do we know if we're doing it right? First of all, the blind cannot lead the blind. If you have your own irresponsible, self-destructive issues, you are in no position to dole out tough love to someone else. If you have poorly defined boundaries, you can't help someone else define theirs. If you do not love and respect yourself, you cannot love and respect others or teach others to love and respect themselves. If you cannot model the proper behavior for others, you cannot expect model behavior from them. If you follow my work, you know that I have written a large collection of original quotes that I share on my website, Facebook, Pinterest, and several other social networking sites. So allow me to quote myself using one that is perfectly applicable here. The quote is, "Love your children enough to cleanse the toxins from your life that might otherwise poison their delicate little spirits." I wish every parent would read that quote and follow through with its message. Everyone has baggage, parents included. And no matter what we do, and no matter how hard we try to prevent it from happening, the baggage gets transferred to our children. I had several tons of baggage when I first became a mother. Since I grew up in an angry, emotionally unsafe, and emotionally abusive home, I was determined to do it different with my children. I was determined to raise them differently. And though I wanted to be the perfect mother, or as close as I could be to being one, it wasn't long before I went into autopilot and started repeating unwanted behaviors. I didn't realize what I was doing until my sweet young daughter began innocently telling me about her dreams. In every dream she shared with me, I was angry with her. That horrified me. It was a huge wake-up call. I immediately got professional help for myself and worked diligently on healing my past. I'm happy to say that as a result of all the work I did on myself, both of my children have grown up to be emotionally healthy people with great self-esteem. There were a few isolated times during their childhoods that I needed to use tough love with them. I did it immediately, and I did it effectively. It does work if you take the right measures. You may have to do things such as take away their car, take away their phone, take away their privileges, and don't allow them to have money or credit cards. Some extreme cases might call for reporting them to the authorities, but hopefully it doesn't get that far. There are some things you should consider about yourself if you want to be effective. The first thing is to figure out what your needs and wants are so you can separate them from the child's wants and needs. Never place your expectations or unfulfilled dreams on your child. Allow them to be who they are and allow them to express themselves in their unique way. Allow them to figure out who they are through trial and error. Only interfere when danger is involved. The second thing is to know your limits. Learn how to say no without feeling guilty about it. No should mean no. If you waver, you will lose your effectiveness. The following Chinese proverb sums it up perfectly. Parents who are afraid to put their foot down usually have kids who step on their toes. Don't you just love that? The third thing is to let others, no matter how young or old they are, do what they are capable of doing for themselves. Keep your tendency to enable in check. The fourth thing is to be a good listener, but know where logic ends and your heartstrings take over. Do not allow yourself to be manipulated by drama and tales of woe. Never support anyone when they try to play victim. The fifth thing is getting whatever help you need, whether it is to heal your past issues, work through a current problem, or help you through whatever difficulties you are experiencing while applying tough love. The challenge of using tough love is particularly difficult when dealing with an addict or alcoholic. that you love and care about. Many years ago, I was a codependent married to a drug addict. That was a recipe for disaster. Not only did I not know that I had a problem, I knew nothing about drug addiction. I was helpless to help him. I did all the wrong things and fell for all his lies and manipulations. So believe me, I speak from firsthand knowledge. It's heartbreaking to watch someone you love destroy their life. And what makes it so hard is that logic does not apply. It's impossible to reason with them. You can't talk them out of it. You can't love them out of it. And they are not the least bit threatened by the consequences of their behavior. You want to be caring and sympathetic, but it gets you nowhere. You try anger and threats and still get nowhere. In the end, tough love is all you've got. When it comes to addiction, tough love is a necessary survival tool for both parties, giver and receiver. An addict will spiral downward, taking everyone who cares about him along with him. Those around him must care enough about their own selves to not let that happen. Boundaries must be established for self-preservation. And tough love is the only viable method to use when trying to help an addict choose to save himself. Because they are not in their right minds, they have to exhaust all resources and be left with nowhere to turn before they will even consider making that choice. It is excruciating to watch everything unfold and wait for them to make the decision to sink or swim. But recovery will not be possible without this painful process. Decisions have to be made about what you will and will not tolerate and what the consequences of their actions will be. The following are some suggestions and guidelines for doing that. Do not cover up or make excuses for them. Let them face the repercussions of their actions. Do not enable their behavior in any way. Allow them to suffer the consequences of their choices. Do not allow them to manipulate you. Stand strong against their pleading, cajoling, and tales of woe. Do not assist them financially. No matter how bad or guilty they try to make you feel, never buy their drugs to prevent them from withdrawal. Don't provide the funds to bail them out of trouble or pay their legal defense. Do not put a roof over their heads, feed them, or clothe them unless they agree to get help and get sober. And if you do, the deal is off if they don't follow through. The last one is stage an intervention with all your family and friends as a way to coerce them into getting treatment or going into rehab. Enlist the help of an intervention specialist to maximize the effectiveness. If all else fails, you may need to call on extreme measures. That may mean severing all contact with them. That would be unfortunate. If children are involved, you might have to go to court and have their legal custody taken away. In the end, tough love can be very effective, but it comes with no guarantees. The recipient must make the choice to self-destruct or save himself. Sometimes they choose to self-destruct, and there is nothing anyone can do to stop them. Relationships with addicts and those with self-destructive personalities are never balanced. One side always gives too much, and the other side always takes too much. It inevitably gets to the point where the giver has nothing left to give. If you have been actively in the caretaker role for a while, you are probably emotionally, physically, and possibly financially drained. After listening to this show, you may feel overwhelmed thinking about all you have to do and wondering how you will do it. That is understandable. The task before you is difficult and daunting. Make no mistake about it. That is why it is so important to enlist the help and support of others. You do not have to do this alone. Seek out support groups in your area specific to your issue. If you're dealing with substance abuse or addiction issues, find your local Al-Anon or Nar-Anon groups and then attend the meetings. There you will find others you can relate to, people who understand what you are going through and can support you through it. The Philadelphia couple that I talked about in the beginning of the show, Phyllis and David York, who began the Tough Love movement back in 1980, started an organization called Tough Love. It's one word spelled T-O-U-G-H-L-O-V-E, all one word. And now there are support groups that meet all over the United States and Canada and many foreign countries, including New Zealand, South Africa, Germany, Korea, and Brazil. These groups help provide structure in dealing with the complex family problems. Just if you're interested, Google toughlove.org for more information. And even if a loved one who is addicted to drugs or alcohol won't get help, family members can still benefit from therapy themselves. So seek out local therapists who have experience with and believe in using Tough Love methods. Love sometimes means having to do things we don't want to do for the benefit of someone else. Tough love is one of those things. The tough love process is hard, but it's worth going through if it means there's a chance we can save the life of someone who is very dear to us. I'm sorry to say that we're out of time, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and then share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please, please, please become a show follower. More followers will get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com. And remember, Randy is always spelled R-A-N-D-I, randygfine, F-I-N-E.com, for even more inspiration, and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Better way.